This audio comes from the collections of the New Zealand AIDS Memorial Quilt.
Our next panel is a quilt display team that participated in the National High School Quilt Program nearby in a city called San Jose. They've traveled from Foothill High School today to be here, along with our National High School Quilt Program coordinator, and she's the one who tries to keep track of all these zillions of schools and make sure they have a successful display. It's an honor to be here and to listen to the last panel of educators. I was struck by the similarity in a lot of your questions. Even though we may have some more access here in the United States, we still have very similar issues to grapple with. The questions about how to get around parents, how to make parents involved, and how to access schools. We have those questions too, and that's something that I work on daily. I am going to very briefly give you an overview of the program, the nutshell of the program. Christina has told you a lot about the theory and some of the activities that we do. I'm going to describe the general outline of the high school program in 15 minutes or less, a small feat for a program that takes 3 months preparation and results in a 2 to 5 day display. The basic structure of the program is meant to be a guide for the schools. It leaves them enough flexibility to be creative in designing a display that will be the right fit for the school, be it big or small, rural or urban, culturally similar or diverse. The overhead is in your handbooks that are in your conference binders. It's a guide that we sent out to the school with their application, and it describes the breakdown of the team. I'm going to briefly touch on each point of the team, but just emphasize that the most important part of this display is the student involvement in all aspects of it, from the beginning, when they begin to plan to bring the quilt to their school. Team leadership. I'm always in constant contact with the staff team leader. I work as a coach as well as the coordinator of the program, and I can help the team with ideas to maximize the effectiveness of the program. I can help problem solve and help them with logistical problems. Ultimately, however, I end up learning more from the schools probably than they do from me. It's a reciprocal educational experience. The staff team leader roles vary from school to school. It is usually the person who initiated the application. It could be the health teacher, the school nurse, the drama teacher, the social studies teacher. Even in one school, the principal was the staff team leader. Because this program touches on so many topics, so many subjects, it can be used in so many topics in schools, any staff team leader can be a teacher from any part of the school. Recruiting students also depends very much on the school. Some have used already existing peer educators. Some students that work on the quilt display are part of student government. One school we did this last semester had students from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and questioning group. It's very rare that a school has such a group, but the school was able to. Some schools put out a call for volunteers and get a cross-section of students from all different parts of the school. The student and staff team leader worked together to oversee the quilt display team activities, obtain approval for the display, then they can send us panel requests and coordinate the rest of their team. We try to send them panels from their area, panels of youth, of women, panels that reflects the cultural diversity of the school. And if they know of somebody in their school community, we would try to send that panel if there is a panel. Education is the next aspect of the team. The education team helps link the quilt display to the other prevention activities. We see the quilt as the focal point, and there should ideally be other HIV prevention activities happening during that week of displays. Some of the activities the schools have done include HIV positive speakers, community health educators, teen theater. Several schools I worked with wrote and produced plays dealing with teens and AIDS, and I noticed that the students were very impacted by those productions. Other things that schools have done are showing videos, reading writings by people with HIV and AIDS, and art projects. The other important aspect of the education team is to review the NAMES Project education materials, which you have in your binder. They distribute them to the teachers and ensure that they are used. Briefly, the materials include the lesson guide, the education guide, student guides for each student that sees the quilt, and videos, Voices of the Quilt, Speak My Name, and Common Threads. We also send the book of letters written by panel makers called A Promise to Remember, and we send a signature square, which is a blank 12 by 12 that the schools can put their own logo on, and the students can record their reactions and comments after seeing the quilt. We will put a signature square out after this session that you can view from Foothill High School. Logistics and security. The logistics team sets up the signature square and coordinates receiving and returning the quilt. We provide the schools with a detailed installation guide. I just want to say I get more questions about how to hang the quilt than anything else during a display. People are very nervous. But when we finally talk about it, it turns out to be very not such a problem. we have no problems at all with vandalization, or the quilt has not been hurt at all, despite the fact that we do not accompany the quilt to the schools. The logistic team also monitors the quilt during the display. A lot of students can get involved in being security officers for the quilt, and that can be a real opportunity for students to be involved. Quickly, public relations. This team is responsible for publicizing the display, recruiting volunteers to generate student and teacher interest in seeing the quilt. Oftentimes we'll use students who work on the school newspaper or in journalism classes. We send a press packet from the NAMES Project and help them publicize. Panel making. This team coordinates the process of making a panel, either in class or out of class. They coordinate a public presentation and dedication of the new panels at the school. Then the panels would be sent back to us, and eventually those panels would be part of high school quilt displays. Panel making is one of the most significant activities related to the display. Students and staff coming together to make a panel can unite a school community. I'm going to turn this over now that you have a basic understanding of our team to a high school did a quilt display this last spring. I'm really excited that they're here, and it will help you get a feeling for what happens at a school. After they talk, I'd like to open it up for questions. You can ask them or myself. Welcome them, and they will tell you about the display.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Rena Folletti. I'm a high school teacher in San Jose, about an hour to the south of San Francisco. I come from the Eastside Union High School District, which is a school district of 10 high schools. Foothill High School today is the only school which brings a group of students to share their experience with you. The students and I feel honored to be in this position, and yet we also know that there are reasons, important reasons, why we were chosen to speak here today. Before I tell you about our personal experience with the quilt at the school, I want you to know a little bit about some of the statistics about our student body. Foothill High School is a continuation high school. It's an alternative high school for students who are not having success at the other 10 schools in our school district. The district serves 22,000 students total, but there are only 300 students at Foothill. It's a very special environment for them. 37% of our students are Hispanic, 25% are Asian, 20% are Caucasian, 9% are Filipino or Pacific Islander, 7% are African American, and approximately 2% are Native American. These statistics reflect the statistics of all of San Jose and of California. In the neighborhoods where our schools reside, where our students reside, poverty overlaps with a number of other factors. These are a high frequency of adolescent births, late or no prenatal care, high tuberculosis rates, infant mortality, and high rates of sexually transmitted disease, as well as problems related to HIV and AIDS, drug and alcohol or violence-related crimes, and high school dropout. Over one-third of the students at Foothill are teen parents. Forty-5% of the student body has a history with juvenile probation. 50% of the pregnant teens at Foothill by self-report conceived while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. 85% of our students report problems of drugs and alcohol. And 90% of our students and their families say that they need medical or social services. As our school learns about family wellness, and as the families learn and the students learn about options for health and wellness, the awareness of students and their families, and therefore the larger community, increases, and they begin to articulate their need to ask for what their options are. The AIDS, the High School Quilt Project, is one of the most powerful examples of an answer to those families' questions. Our project was part of all 10 of the schools in our district participated in the High School Quilt Project, and was coordinated by a central coordinating committee. Today, the students from Foothill are just from one and the smallest of the schools in the Eastside District, and they will talk to you about the importance of their experience with the quilt. At Foothill, we organized a three-week plan and program of events. The first week was the introduction to the quilt, before the quilt came to our campus. Asha just explained many of the activities, and we drew from all of the activities that were suggested by the High School Quilt Program. They included videos, photographs, and at our school, we developed a school-wide lesson that was 90 minutes in duration, which all teachers presented to all students at the same time. This served as an introduction to the quilts coming the next week. Week two was the quilt display week, the 5 days when the quilt was actually at our campus. The quilt was displayed with the help of students. Classes visited the quilt at least twice. We included a panel of speakers from our campus, adults who had had experiences with HIV or AIDS in their own lives. These activities were designed to build empathy in students and to provide them with first-hand experience with people who had lived with AIDS and HIV. During the third week, we had our AIDS and HIV curriculum, which was developed by medical professionals and social service professionals on our campus. We also provided counseling and support for students because we found that the quilt brought out a lot of emotion, and we wanted to be prepared to be able to handle that. We also gave plenty of time for follow-up and closing activities. The remarkable success of the quilt project in our school was due to a number of factors, which I will show you on the overhead. First of all, we planned ahead. That's what you're doing now. We had committees of staff members that looked at the curriculum provided by the quilt project. The second step was that we involved everyone. We divided all of the activities into tiny little pieces, and we delegated them to many different people so that everyone could feel involved. All of the adults and all of the students on our campus. The third step was that we took our time. We did not present all activities just when the quilt was on campus. We included a week before and a week after. We went slowly with our educational program. I suggest that highly. Number four, get personal. The speakers who came to talk to our students and the discussions that the students had were of highly personal nature. And for that reason, for number five, you should expect emotion. It means that what it means by getting personal is that people who are HIV positive or who had family members or friends who had died of AIDS or who were ill with AIDS were able to speak with students very clearly and openly and very honestly about the intimacy of their experience in a very personal way, not in an abstract way or in an academic way. Therefore, we expected emotion, and we got emotion. Lots of mixed emotion on the part of the students. Number six, the quilt itself nurtures empathy, acceptance, and love, and in our environment, that's what we also did.
On May 9th, 1995, at Foothills High School, in East San Jose, California, we had a parents' night. We all invited the parents of the students to come and visit our school. At this parents' night, we had a few of the quilt panels from the AIDS quilt in our library. I took my parents there first before I took them to any of my classrooms. The looks on their faces were looks of compassion and mostly looks of being very upset. I knew it was going through their minds. How could this one tiny little virus get into one person's body and spread? And kill this many people? That's what was going through a lot of parents' minds. Not only that, but how could it kill all those innocent children? It could have been their children. But thank God it wasn't. But it could have been, but it could be if they don't educate and put their foot down about protection in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Not only in the 90s, but forever. Mm-hmm. And they won't need to make a quilt one day for their child. The quilt to me was very compassionate and caring. I thought that all those people cared enough for their loved ones, friends, and family. They loved those people enough to take the risk and show their feelings to the public and to the world. My feelings about AIDS is that I'm scared. I'm scared for my life and for my young community. That's good I'm scared, because this whole AIDS project has scared me into having safer sex, protecting myself and my loved ones. from this deadly disease and concentrating on a safe future for me and my future children. The quilt is life to me. It shows the life of all those people and how they lived. To me, they're all still alive, not just in our hearts, but in that quilt. And that quilt will never die. I think AIDS is the number one killer among America and the world. But I'm not the only one who thinks that. Children, teenagers, and adults die every day of this horrible death. It's time the world, especially the teenagers, to wake up and realize we have to protect ourselves. We're doing this to ourselves. We're spreading this disease, and it's time for us to stop. It's time for us to stop the deaths and the misery. If we stop that, we'll get life going again for the children of our future and for the future that we all want. Thank you.
The quilt to me is something important because it shows people AIDS awareness.
Stop. Oh, you need to speak a little bit louder. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It shows people that HIV and AIDS is not stopping. The quilt continues to grow every day. It's not stopping or slowing down. It's growing very rapidly. And the quilt makes people aware from all over the world that HIV and AIDS is out there. And the only way it's going to stop or slow down is if every single individual gets educated. Enough to know how you could get AIDS and how you can't. And all the different ways to protect yourself against HIV or AIDS. And a good way to start out is learning about the quilt. The quilt is what opened my eyes to AIDS. When the quilt came to our school, it was displayed in the library. When I walked in the library, I was amazed to what I seen. The thing that got my attention the most was a quilt of a little girl. Maybe somewhere in between the age of 2 to 5 years old. And by seeing that, it made me realize this could seriously happen to me. So when we begin to learn about this in class, I was more focused . I wanted to know more. I wanted to be educated more than the little I already knew. And I just hope that everyone can have a chance to be educated for a better future. For all of us. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. When I first seen the quilt, I walked into my school library. In big letters, the first panel I seen was a person with the exact same name as me. It shocked me with amazement, hurt, happiness, and sadness. The reason for my sadness was because of all those panels that went on for miles, which meant all of those thousands of panels meant thousands of people who have died from AIDS. My amazement was basically the size, the time, the effort, and all the love put into this gigantic quilt. My overwhelming happiness was because of all these people that will be remembered. Because of one man who put all this together. This quilt gave these people's families a chance to show their love and hurt in a positive way. It gave them a chance to say, remember me, and remember me in a good way. And most of all, remember it does happen. So remember to protect yourselves. Last of all, the reasons for my hurt was for all those families and loved ones who had to endure all the hurt and pain. The way they had to have someone they cared about live and die with AIDS. AIDS is a reality. It hurts. The feeling I got during our AIDS Awareness Week was that all of this was a true hard hit on reality of AIDS. Its dramatic effects on the people who are living and dying or have died with AIDS, and the friends and family going through this with their loved one with AIDS. One of the activities, the many activities I participated in, was listening to a panel of speakers who have AIDS or either had a loved one who has died from AIDS. The panel of speakers had a very emotional effect on me. A couple of people had someone die from AIDS, were people that are staff at our school. Mrs. Young, who is a staff at Foothill, and a very close acquaintance of mine, brought her niece, Kim, who has AIDS to speak for us. One person I could never imagine to know someone with AIDS. Kim had AIDS for several years without knowing and became pregnant. And gave birth to a baby girl named Cheyenne. Cheyenne was infected with AIDS since birth. But was not found out till she was 1.5 years old. That was later when she became very sick with pneumonia, vomiting, and fever. That is too when they found out her mother Kim had AIDS. As Kim and Miss Young continue to tell us how Cheyenne's condition progressed to the worst, I felt the hurt as their eyes filled with tears and voices cracked. I looked around the room and I could see that my other fellow students were teary-eyed and felt the hurt this mother felt for her daughter. Mainly because most of the girls in there had children also. She continued to tell us how her daughter became well and then sick again. Finally, she got so ill they had to send her to Stanford Hospital. Where she would spend her last days. One of Cheyenne's interns, the little girl, who had the night shift, took a liking to Cheyenne. He knew how much she loved Barney and Cheetos. That every other night, he would bring her a Barney movie and a bag of Cheetos. Cheyenne was starting to get very ill. She had external and internal bleeding from her bottom. Cheyenne, only 4 years old, soon died at Stanford Hospital. Cheyenne school. Tell them about what you did say. Okay. Well, Cheyenne was. It took a dramatic effect on all of us. That we all decided to make a quilt for her because she didn't have a quilt already. So we all, Foothill students, participated. And we made her a quilt. We brought it today, so. To present to the Names Project. We also, our Foothill students, we made a signature quilt. And I wrote a poem on there dedicated to Cheyenne and all those who have died from AIDS. And you guys could read it later over here. Oh, you want me to read it too? Okay. In their eyes, I see them dying. Deep inside, I feel like crying. Life was too short for them to go. Now their dreams will never know. One precious thing they left behind was for us to be careful and use our mind. Thank you.
Do we have time for a couple questions, or yeah, okay, yeah, we have time for a couple. Right at front. Wanted to thank them for coming and taking the time to come, and to thank the teacher for teaching, for showing you how to work with the students. Thank you. From New Zealand.
Yeah, I did talk to my aunt and my uncle and my father and friends too. Like, we'll just bring it up, you know, and we'll talk about it. And, you know, we just talk about different, we talk to them about the different ways you could get it and stuff.
I bring my parents to see the quilt in the library, as I did when I went in there, and I showed my mom the quilt with my name. And it was kind of shocking for her. And I think it both affected us a lot, because at one time there was time for us where she was dying of cancer, sort of kind of similar. So that week was kind of hard for me, because I knew how it felt to live with somebody that was dying of something, like a disease or something like that. So we talked about it a lot.
Another question? The question is, how much, before you saw the quilt, how much did you talk about AIDS with your parents and talk about sex with your parents and just know about AIDS?
Well, really, I never really talked about it with my parents. All I really knew was to use a condom, and that's all my parents really ever told me. And I didn't really know all the different ways you could get AIDS and how you can't. I mostly just thought you could get AIDS just by sleeping with the person that had AIDS without a condom. But after, you know, we did the topic on AIDS, I learned, like, all all the ways you could get it, and it just made me feel more like, I just feel more secure that I know the way I could get it and now and the way I can't. And I know the different ways to protect myself.
I always talked to my parents about sex and AIDS and transmitted diseases because I was curious. And plus, I was, as I said before, I was scared because I didn't want to die of something that was so cruel. It's not cruel in that sense, but it's cruel for a young person like my age, like a teenager, because we have so much to live for in life. And if you die of something like that, it's just really sad because you haven't lived life to the fullest.
Yes, question. The question is, were you asked before the quilt came, do you want it to come? And the second part was, how do you deal with... Right, the feeling of, oh, it's another AIDS talk, it's another presentation. Oh, how boring. Right.
They're from a different program. I'm from another program, and the program that we had is we had just had a 1 week where we were discussing of everything on the world, like the bombings and all that. And one of the weeks that we had was to discuss basically AIDS awareness. And we were asked if we wanted to do it, and because some of us, it was harder for us to do that. Like, there was one activity we participated in that was had to do with that quilt. Was we wrote 4 cards of the most important people in our life, 4 things we like to do the most, 4 prized possessions, and they said it was a really emotional activity, which I didn't really believe it. But when I participated in it, a lot of the students participated, even though they didn't. They thought it wasn't all that, but they participated in it, and they told us to picture ourselves being a person with AIDS, and to picture ourselves in a safe place where we felt safe all the time. My safe place was in my room, where I could talk to my mom, and slowly they said that our disease was getting worse, so we had to take one of each of those things away, the most important things. And slowly we ended up with 2 people and 2 things we liked, and then they just came around and they just took one without even asking us. They just took it. And I started to cry, you know, I didn't think I was going to get emotional. I started to cry because they took my mom and they left me with my son, and I wanted to be with my mom because I know what she would go through. My son's too young to understand. So a lot of the students got emotional, and they didn't say, oh, I don't want to participate. And the teachers didn't have to ask us, because then we knew, you know, it was reality. It meant something. It was just, I don't know, I can't explain it. The activity was just so intense and deep, what we did. So basically, we just all volunteered to do it. It was something we felt we needed to do.
One more question. Belgi?
When?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. Oh, sorry.
When we started the topic about the AIDS, they did ask us if we wanted the quilt to come. And well, most of the people in our class said, yeah, that we did want it to come because it looked interesting to do. And like, I never really heard nobody saying something about another AIDS talk or something, because it's just something, you know, you want to know, because, you know, it's a matter of life or death, and most people do want to know about it.
Do you have
Well, the ones that did say that, they never really said anything. They just kind of, like, you know, ignored it. They didn't really pay attention. And, you know.
And I think most of the people, the students that maybe thought that way, when they went in, well, because I kind of thought that way too, oh, another AIDS talk. When I got in there and I seen all those quilts, it just hit me. It was just like, God, these are each lives, their lives. I mean, that's something you're not going to want to say, oh, another AIDS talk. It's reality. It makes you think. It makes you think more when I seen those, especially when I seen my name up there. My name's not very common. I seen my name up there, and I was like, oh, my God, what if that was me?
One more question. Valdine. The question is that the prevailing attitude is that AIDS is a gay disease, and the question is, did that change at all, or how was that at your school?
Say the question again.
The question is that most people think of AIDS as a gay disease. That's where the question was asked from North Carolina. You want to say the question again, Valjean? That from being from North Carolina. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the students in my program that I'm in, I never heard anything like that. Most of all, they thought it was from, like, people that shared needles, like, shooting up, and from unprotected sex. But I never heard them say anything about just gay people have it or anything like that. We discussed that, but it wasn't, like, a big issue. Like, people felt that strongly about it. And I think when they went in to see the quilt, they seen, you know, children there. I mean, it's not, they automatically could see, you know, it's children too. It's not just certain people. It's happened to anybody. They could see that. And every time they went to see the quilt, we always seen something different. You know, the same quilt, we'd come back and we'd see something different in there.
When I was younger, I kind of thought like that, because growing up, like, this was like in elementary, that's all you really heard about was, like, people talking about gays having AIDS and stuff. But then after, as I got older, I got more educated and knowing about what AIDS really was, and it's just not gays that get it. I started to know that anybody could really get it.
Do we have time for one? Oh, okay, go ahead.
I have one more thing to say. And about kids, about, you know, the way they say about the reason why they don't protect themselves, they always have, like, little reasons. And, like, a reason is, like, some reason that I could think of is, like, parts, like, you know, when they see the person, they're thinking, oh, look at this person, you know, she looks nice, she looks like, you know, she wouldn't have it, so, you know. And, you know, they think, why stop in the middle of, you know, doing it and, you know, just to put a condom on. But then when you really realize, you know, it's just make it a natural thing, you know. Make it natural, you know, just, oh, give the condom, make it natural and it'll be different. But, you know, when you meet a natural person, like, you know, like, if I were to meet her, I would think, you know, I would look at them, I would talk to them over the phone and stuff. I would think, like, oh, no, I don't think this person has AIDS, you know, and then I wouldn't really be looking at it that way, you see. But you shouldn't be thinking if that person has AIDS. It should just be a natural thing for you to do. Just use a condom, you know.
One last thing I wanted to say was the mother of Cheyenne, the little girl that died, when she came, the staff person that I was really close to. You know, I never expected anything like that. I mean, she was so nice. I never thought anything, maybe because I had kind of a stereotype, something like that. And they sat there, and when they talked, I mean, I can speak for everybody that was in that room. I was crying, and I couldn't hold it in. I was kind of embarrassed at first, but I couldn't hold it in because I know how it feels to lose somebody. Like, well, not I didn't lose her, but how it felt like losing that person. And after she got done speaking, I went up there, and I was always scared to be next to somebody that had AIDS. I was always wondering, God, does this person have AIDS? But now I think that I'm not scared of the person that has AIDS. I'm just scared to get AIDS, and now I got to protect myself. So after I went up there, and it was just a natural reaction, I went up there and I hugged that lady Kim, and I hugged her, and I was crying, and I made the staff, Miss Young, I made her cry too. And it was just a strong feeling. I wasn't scared anymore. I don't know, it was different after that experience. It felt good inside.
A lot of stereotypes people have is like, you know, people that look clean, like, oh, they don't really have AIDS. People really mostly think most likely like people that use drugs or people that, you know, have sex a lot really have AIDS. But then, you know, a person that maybe a virgin has sex for the first time could get AIDS just once. So it only takes once, you know. You know, it's a lot of stereotypes. Only people that, you know, shoot needle drugs and have a lot of sex are people that could get AIDS. But it could be the first time a person has sex or the first time a people use a needle could get AIDS.
Thank you very much. I think that's all.